Bishop Jakes, amen, was ministering, and I got in the middle of a sermon, amen. He was already ministering, but in the middle of that sermon, amen, he was talking about he was out, and I don't know if he was at, amen, the barber shop, because how many of y'all know Bishop don't have any hair, amen. Bishop don't have any hair, but I think he said he was at the barber shop or somewhere. And one of the people challenged him and said, you know, Bishop, I would come to church, but there's so many messy people, amen, in the church. So many messy people, amen, in the local body. And I like what Bishop answered, because, you know, one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost is wisdom. God had him to answer them in such wisdom. And Bishop, without skipping a beat, said, he just answered them, said, now you're going to have to excuse us. Because, you see, the only place we have to get people from is the world. Come on now. And if there are messy people in the world, then there are going to be messy people in the church. Amen. It's like dipping, amen, a bucket down into the well. And whatever is in the well is going to be in that bucket. Come on now. So you're going to have to forgive us. You're going to have to excuse us and forgive us. Because the only place we get people from is the world. And if you look, amen, in the book of Revelation, that's starting at that second chapter, you find, amen, Jesus Christ speaking and having a word to the angel of each one of those churches. You'll find out that some of those churches had some messy folk. Come on now. But in each one of those churches, Jesus had a word for them that was tailor-made for them. Come on now. And I just like it. Some of those churches, Jesus had to admonish them to repent. Say, you know, remember where you came from and repent. Some people think that once you get into the body of Christ, you're perfect. No, no, no. Paul the Apostle said, I die daily. Come on now. Meaning there's something in me. There's some part of me that God has dying to self every day. Jesus put it this way. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. It's price to be paid. Amen. Denying oneself. Taking up that cross daily. It's a daily sacrifice. It's a daily death. And following the Lord. Amen. So we just thank God even for those churches. Amen. That we've spoken about. Some of those churches, amen, had practices going on in them that were not of God. One of those churches said, you suffer that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. Come on now. Jesus said, you suffer her to teach and to preach and seduce for service. One of the churches said, you have those that have the doctrine of Balaam. Come on now. Got people right there within the body. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about out there in the world. He was talking to the church. Come on now. That's why it tickles me when I hear ministers get up and minister and preach. And speaking of Jesus, that Jesus is speaking to your sinner. He's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I said, well, brother, Jesus did say that, but he wasn't talking to the sinner when he said that. He was talking to the church. He said, I stand at the door and knock. That wasn't a word to the sinner right there. Jesus ain't knocking on their door begging them to do anything. To them, he said, no man come to the Father except they come by me, and no man cometh to me except the Spirit draw him. That's that word to the sinner. That word to the sinner is you must be born again. Come on now. So Jesus had a strong word to the sinner, to the ungodly, but recognizing once you come into that place of fellowship, amen, there's still a daily reckoning that has to be done. That's what Jesus is talking about, taking up that cross daily. Let's look at this right here. As we look at the third chapter of Revelation and the seventh verse, amen. Look at your neighbor. And say, has God given you, ask them, has God given you an open door? Amen. Has God given you an open door? So many people, amen, they pray for an open door. They pray for a wide open opportunity in the spirit. But how many think that when God gives you that open door, would you know what to do with it? Come on now. God gives you an open door. What would you do with that open door of opportunity? If God would come down and tell you, whatever you want, you can have. What would you ask him for? Now, the immature saints say, oh, I know what I'd ask for. I'd ask for $1 million here. I'd ask for a big house over there. I'd ask for a fine automobile and luxury things. I want diamonds and rubies. I want furs and tables. I want the nice suit. I want the Armani. I want the Versace. I want all the... Start asking for all of those fleshly things. But that's not what God gave you the open door for. Come on now. Jesus said it best when he said, Father, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Come on now. That's what that open door is for. That open door so you can say, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Come on now. That's an open door right there. Well, this is a church right here that Jesus is talking. He's going to proclaim that he's given them an open door. But there are some things that he wants done with that open door. Come on now. Revelation 3 and 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Hope you realize that in every one of these churches, Jesus always described himself first. Come on now. He always described, when he described himself, he always described himself as either the source of your strength, the source of your righteousness, or the source of your deliverance. He always addresses himself first because, after all, he is the Alpha. Come on now. He addresses himself first and he talks about what he's going to do at the end because not only is he the Alpha, he's the Omega. But as much as he describes himself, as those churches come into the revelation of who Jesus is, they begin to recognize not only is he Alpha and Omega, but he's everything in between. Come on now. He wants to be our all in all, the scripture says. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. Watch this. He that hath the key of David. And this is the part that makes me shout right there. He that openeth and no man shutteth. And shutteth and no man openeth. Oh my God. You want an open door? You got to recognize who controls the door. He said, I am he that I open and no man can shut it. And when I shut it, no man can open it. So many people in the body of Christ, the enemy's got us buffaloed. He's got us fooled. Because so many people in the body of Christ spend time fussing and fighting and arguing with the devil about things. Oh, the devil shut that door and the devil closed this up unto me and the devil closed that up unto me and I found my way, amen, that was hindered and the devil tried to hinder on every hand. If you belong to God, you might want to look again. Might not have been the devil that shut that door for you. See, that scares folks right there. That might not have been the devil that blocked that path for you. That thing that you thought you wanted, the thing that you thought you couldn't live without, but for some reason or another, you could never have it, you could never get it, you could never obtain it, and you spent all that time puking and rebuking the devil. You need to open up your eyes and see. It might be Jesus said, I close that door, and when I close it, no man can open it. Come on now. Conversely, there's some folks that, you know, you've got a purpose in your life and you realize when you're about to achieve something that maybe you haven't been as diligent as you should have been. Maybe you haven't been as focused as you should have been. But even in the midst of that, you could feel the grace of God carrying you through. Understand, it's Jesus that said, I open, and when I open, no man can shut. Come on now. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. He's revealing himself that I am he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Oh my God. I've set before you an open door, and no man. Oh, we spend all this time worried about what folk do. You got to watch out for that one, because see, that one can make problems for you. Watch out for that one, because you know that promotion that you're trying to get on your job, and if you tick that one off right there, I mean, that one can actually undermine your process. Well, who is your faith in? Is your faith in that one, or is your faith in God that says, I open and no man shut? I've given you an open door that no man can shut. If you believe that Jesus is the one that directs your footsteps, then there's nobody on the job, there's nobody in the neighborhood, there's nobody in the family, there's not a bank, there's not a mortgage broker, there's not anybody that can undermine and upset the course that God has you on. Because Jesus said, I am he that openeth. I've set before you an open door, and no man man shutteth. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Says right here, for thou hast a little strength. Come on now. It's not because you're overwhelmingly strong. It's not because you're overwhelmingly mighty. He said, but because you have a little strength. I want you to look at something right here. And this is in the book of Corinthians. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I think it's in 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians, go to the first chapter. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Glory to God. Jesus said, you got a little strength. Where does that little strength come from? Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. First chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start reading. Oh, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1, and I guess I'm going to try 18th verse. Oh, this is so good. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Watch, this is what we want to focus on, that 26th verse. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Jesus looked at that church and said, you have a little strength. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble after the flesh are called. 27th verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And this is why he did it, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Jesus told this church at Philadelphia, you have a little strength, but little in the master's hand is much. I think about us sometime when I look at that. It's not many of us here. Got a little strength, but God has enabled us, amen, in the spirit to be giant killers. God has enabled us in the spirit to be mountain movers. And it's not because of overwhelming numbers. It's not because of overwhelming finance. It's not because of overwhelming notoriety. But in spite of the weakness that we have, God is showing and God is proving, it's not so that our flesh can glory in his sight, but anything that's going to glory is going to be the glory of God, because it's not the strength of this house, but it's the power of Almighty God that we're able to be on the internet, that we're able to go all around the world and preach the gospel on Wednesdays and on Sundays. It's because of the power of Almighty God that we're able to witness unto him both everywhere, in not only just in Gardendale, but the witness that God has given us travels all around this community. Amen. strength. Not a whole lot, just a little bit. He said, because thou hast little strength and has kept the word and has kept my word and has not denied my name. Come on now. You know how much strength that takes? Jesus said you need the faith as of the grain of a mustard seed. It's not big. He said, matter of fact, that's the least of all herbs. But when it is sown, comes a mighty tree. Come on now. Jesus used the small things, the weak things, to confound the things that are mighty. He says, you have a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they have a covenant, which say they are chosen, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come to worship before thy feet. Come on now. And to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept, and I want y'all to circle this right here in your Bible, underline it, highlight it. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That's a message in and of itself right there. Thou hast kept the word of my patience. Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. Thou hast kept the word of my patience. The old joke about the man said, Lord, I need patience and I need it right now. Come on now. Praying and you're already impatient. Give me some patience. Give it to me right now. You know how God teaches us patience? God teaches us patience through trials. God teaches us patience through testings. God teaches us patience through persevering through hard time. You look over in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, talks about the beast, amen, that is marking people whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Talks about all those things that that beast is able to do in the presence of all of those unclean things. But then he said, here is the faith and the patience of the saints. All that nonsense going on, and yet we persevere. All of that nonsense happening, and yet we still stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain. There's your patience right there. There's your faith right there. With everything happening all around about you, seem like everybody that's worldly, everybody that's ungodly, seem like they're on the fast track, getting what they want when they want it, getting what they want to have, never having a problem when it comes to finances, never having a problem when it comes to career change, never having a problem with being popular, never having a problem of, amen, not being included in all the best and select things, never having a problem. But you, here you are. So it looked like every time I turn around, I'm bumping my head here and bumping my head there and bumping my head in another place in his life. Nothing comes to me easy. But somehow or another, always seem to get the victory at the last moment. When it looked like all else is lost, here comes God coming through with the victory. You know what? God's on your side. God is saying, I put before you an open door because you got a little strength. You got something that allows you to hold on when everybody else is giving up, but yet here you are holding on. You don't have the finances that the other person has, but people are coming to you asking for some money. You don't have, amen, the car that they drive, but they got to come to you asking you, can you give them a lift? Come on now. You don't have all those advantages. You don't have all the popularity. You don't have all the notoriety. But yet they got to come to you and ask you, would you consider supporting me with this or with that? You got a little strength and you haven't denied my name. You haven't had to compromise to get what you have. Come on now. He says, because of that, even in the religious world, even in the church world, he said that those that say that they're Jews, understand, when he talks about that, he's really talking about, because this is the book of Revelation, those that say that they're Jews, those who say they have a covenant, those those who say they're part of the body, those who say that they're called and chosen. But how many of y'all know, a lot of people talk the talk, but not many people walk the walk. They say that they're Jews. They say that they're called out. They say that they're Christian. They say that they're part of the body. They say that they're all these things, but Jesus said they're not. But they do lie. He called them the synagogue of Satan. Do me a favor, cut that heat off for me. He said they're the synagogue of Satan. They do lie. So they're not a part of me at all. He said, I'm going to cause them to come and worship before your feet. He didn't say they're worshiping you. But he said, but they will come and worship before your feet. They're going to have to recognize in your presence that God is in you. That's why Jesus said they will know that I have loved thee because you've kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Watch this. From the hour of temptation which shall come upon most the world. It's not what it says, does it? It says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. It's amazing right there. Get down to when you talk about the mark of the beast. Always heard it preached, amen, in the old church coming up, that you was going to have a choice in this thing. That you're going to either accept Jesus, and if you accept him, you're going to be beheaded. You're going to have your head cut off. But if you don't accept him, then you're going to receive a mark in your forehead and in your hand. For years, I ran with that interpretation. And then God put me in that book. Started me reading and looking and searching. I said, Lord, when I see the mark of the beast, it didn't say that they had a choice. I want y'all to look at something. Because some folk think I make this up. I don't make it up. Come on now. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Book of Revelation, 13th chapter. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Book of Revelation, 13th chapter. And matter of fact, let me just start up a little bit. 13th chapter and the 11th verse. I want you to look at this right here. Because Jesus said the hour of temptation is going to come to all the world. But watch this. 13 and 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. I want you to notice that dragon was in the heavens. That 13-headed beast came up out of the sea. He said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast rising out. So in the spirit realm, in the heavens, there's a dragon. Humanity, nations, and tongues. That's whether it's political realms. I don't care if it's the church political structure, the secular political structure coming up out of the sea. There's another beast. And then here's another one coming up out the flesh, man. This one coming up out of the earth. Had two horns like a lamb. And he spake like as a dragon. Come on now. Jesus said, those who are the synagogue of Satan, who say they're Jews, but are not, do lie. They look like they got a covenant. Got two horns like a lamb. You think about a lamb, you think about Christ. You think about that godly sacrifice. This beast right here says had two horns like a lamb. But you got to discern what this thing is. It spake as a dragon. So much in the realm of religion. It's what Jesus said. I'm going to keep you in the hour of temptation. You got a little strength. I'm going to keep you from the temptation that shall come on all the world. But you got a little strength. You haven't denied my name. Look at this. Two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. So I always preach, you got to know God for yourself. How many people will see something that looks like a lamb? Don't discern what they're saying. They're talking like the devil, but they look religious. They got the right religious clothes on. They have the right religious traditions. They have the right religious rituals. All those things that speak to church. All those things that speak to godliness. Come on now. The Bible says they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Jesus saying, when this church right here, Church of Philadelphia, you got a little strength. I'm going to keep you in the hour of temptation so that those who say that they are Jews but are not, but do lie, I'm going to even make them know that I loved you. Look at this right here. Fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Look like you're trying to do what Elijah did. So if all you're going by is giftings, and you see that fire come down, that demonstration seeming, and don't discern, wait a minute, the spirit that this fella's talking about, he's got some spiritual connection, making fire come down from heaven. I remember the prophet Elijah did that. I remember Solomon praying in the temple and fire came down in that. But now this fella, so this fella must be real. Oh, hold on now. Two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. Don't stop discerning. Watch this. 14th verse. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship this system, this image of the beast, should be killed. Watch this 16th verse. And he causeth how many? All. Everyone. Didn't say most. Didn't say they had a choice. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. He caused all of them to do it, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Wow. There's only one group of people that don't receive that mark. Those whose faith and whose confidence is in the Lord Jesus and him alone. Everybody else, say he calls it all to receive that mark. Come on now. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's where they get 666 from. And they said 666 is the mark of the beast. No, it's not. It's the number of his name. Ah, look at that. But he's going to mark you one of three ways. Says that no man might receive, to receive a mark, that no man might buy or sell, save he which had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. That's why the enemy is trying to mark his property. You got to look back in book of Isaiah, about Isaiah 14, when the enemy is talking, saying, I will be like the Most High. The enemy has one desire, and that's to be like God. The only problem is God won't let him. He says, I'm the Lord, there is none else. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You got to look back in Isaiah 14th chapter to see what Satan's one desire is. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Make sure I get that one in there. Isaiah 14 and 12. That's why this verse I'm trying to reference. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's Isaiah 14, starting with the 12th verse, going all the way through Isaiah 14, and let's see, he go all the way down through, all the way down, really, oh my God, all that's good, go all the way down 17 verse, 18 verse. Wow. But you have to look at this. In Isaiah 14 and 16, it said, they that see thee. See how much time I'm working with. Y'all just give me about 5 more minutes. I'm going to stop this. It said, they that see thee, those that discern the enemy. They that see thee. And you can't see Satan without looking at him through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Other than that, that two-horned sheep, won't know, you won't know that that's the devil. You will think that that's Christ-like. But you got to listen. He's speaking as a dragon. You got to discern the spirit that they're of. Jesus said, believe not every spirit. Try the spirit, whether they be of God. Spoke that in 1 John. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. It says, I'll be like the Most High, but they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Oh my goodness. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. See, I mean, when you got Christ in you and you can see the devil at work, that's when you go, really? That's him? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let me try to bring this to a close. Glory to God. Thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'm back in Revelation 3 and 10. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in my temple, in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Come on now. He said, those that overcome, I'm going to establish you. I'm going to mature you. You're going to be a pillar in the temple of my God. In other words, you're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men while they lie waiting to deceive. No, you're a pillar in my temple. People can look to you and know that you are steadfast. So they won't go no more out of my temple. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. And he shall not go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. People say, well, what's the name of that? Well, keep reading. Which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. King of kings, Lord of lords. He says, I want to write that on you. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for the revelation of Jesus for the church at Philadelphia, that church that has a little strength. That because they stand faithful and they haven't denied your name, they've kept the word of your patience, that you keep us in the time of temptation that comes upon all the earth. Lord God, we thank you for that Philadelphia anointing, that revelation of Jesus Christ that causes us, even though we're not the biggest, the most popular, the most financially lucrative, but Lord, in us you see something that's faithful. And you said, I can use that. I appreciate you, God. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to challenge y'all to go back and read the message. We don't have but one church to go. And that's the one church that most preachers, when they preach about the message to the seven churches, is always the one they go to, the church at Laodicea. We'll talk about that next week. Come on now. said, what you gonna do after that? Gonna be Mother's Day. After that's gonna be Mother's Day. But we're talking about Laodicea on next week. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We just thank God, amen, for his presence.